Air and say, please support Peace and Justice, Free Speech Radio, Radio for the 99.5% at 99.5 FM. Contribute. Become a WBAI Buddy member.
Hello. This is Mike Pinder, co-founder of the Moody Blues. You're listening to WBAI, New York.
This is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, you should be ashamed. But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the Feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top of the line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. Well, okay. We went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
It's in the vicinity of about 5 a.m., I think, and you're listening to all 215 pounds my ass. Well, maybe his ass is 215 pounds. Radio, WBAI, New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
And we're going to talk about various things in this program, and you can find out a little bit more about what we're talking about by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. And when you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame on the left side of your screen. At the top, it will say latest back of the book program links. Click on that, and you will be at the web page for this morning's radio program. The WBAI website and the archives seem to be working all right as we record this program. This is our 147th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we can't reference them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. The top story throughout all the dimensions of time, space, and elsewhere for this week is... On Twitter, we remain at the depleted number of 121 followers. An odd thing happened on Twitter last week, or X, whatever the hell it is. I always post a tweet about the program, and last week I posted one before the program, of course, and instead of the usual 20 or 30 views my tweets get when WBAI doesn't retweet them, it got 679 views. The graphic in that tweet combined Donnie Bonespur Trump's head and a Thomas Nast cartoon of Boss Tweed from 1871 in a prison suit. It also had Rudy Giuliani in prison garb. I have to wonder if that graphic got that tweet noticed. When WBAI retweets, or maybe re-Xs these days, one of my tweets, I might get as many as 120 views. This was by far the most views any tweet of mine has ever gotten, and I will probably never get that many again. And obviously, all of those views did not result in a single new follower. Odd stuff is happening on X. The next WBAI local station board meeting will be held on Wednesday, September 13th, 2023 at 7 p.m. That meeting will be held on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. As we've mentioned in the past, the CDC website isn't giving us all that much information about COVID-19 in America these days, although they're saying that the total deaths in America are at 1,138,602, which means that 860 people have died of COVID-19 since our last program 1 week ago. That's 225 more than the previous fortnight's average of 635 deaths per week. That's a 35% increase from the previous number. I'm hearing that there's a general increase in hospitalizations for COVID-19, too. The CDC is talking about the autumn booster shot. They're saying it may be available by mid-October, just in time to be given with the flu shot. And everyone will be eligible for the new COVID-19 booster. The new strain that's dominant in the United States is named EG5, or Eris, and some people are getting concerned about it. I'm reading that some scientists in the field are saying that EG5 does not pose a more substantial threat than the major COVID-19 variants that we're already dealing with. The World Health Organization is saying that, quote, the public health risk posed by EG5 is evaluated as low at the global level, unquote. EG5 was discovered in the so-called People's Republic of China in February and was found in the United States by April. The strain comes from one of the variants of the Omicron strain, and so it's really infectious, as are all the strains that are still around these days. EG5 has one new mutation that helps it get around antibodies that we have from either vaccines or from a prior infection. EG5 can cause severe symptoms in children, older folks like Pickles of the North and me, and people with compromised immune systems, and it can result in long COVID in some cases. In a New York Times article, Trevor Bedford, who's a professor in the Vaccines and Infectious Disease Division at the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Center in Seattle, Washington, said, quote, I'm generally very concerned about the overall rate of evolution of SARS-CoV-2. That's the actual virus that causes COVID-19. No single variant has been that impactful, but the overall accumulation of these mutations is having significant impact, unquote. The pandemic is not over. Pickles of the North and I are still keeping our masks on. We've both gotten our bivalent vaccinations and our bivalent booster shots. We're hearing that the new boosters are going to be ready as early as next month or surely by October. We'll probably wait until mid-October to get our new booster shot against COVID-19 and the latest flu shot at the same time. It's a ritual we've gone through for the past couple of years. The middle third is about to end. Oh, that's so sad. The middle third is the middle 4 months of every year. They're the months of May, June, July, and August. And that's my favorite time of year because there's a lot of light. It's warm. I'm not freezing my rear end off. And it's just generally what I like. And so I wait eagerly for the middle third every year. And I try to enjoy it. Since the pandemic, I haven't been able to enjoy it nearly as much as I used to, but I'm hoping we're going to be able to deal with that. I'm hoping next year I'll be getting out ordinarily in the middle third, not doing that well this year so far. Anyway, so the middle third is about to end. And this is the last radio program that we're going to do of this middle third. And we're also in late summer right now. And, oh, I like the warmth. And it's going to start getting brisk pretty soon. Pickles of the North wants to get me out of the apartment for something other than a visit to the VA hospital before the middle third ends next Thursday. And maybe we can do that. Yeah, I hang around the house as, you know, a lump a lot. It's late summer here, but it's late winter in the southern hemisphere. There is concern among some scientists about there being much less sea ice than usual around Antarctica at this time. So I was reading about this in the Times, and oh boy, they have a record low of sea ice around Antarctica this winter time in the southern hemisphere. And a senior research scientist at the National Snow and Ice Data Center says it's a very sudden change that they're seeing. It's exposing, less ice is exposing more of the continent's ice sheet to open ocean, allowing it to melt and break off more easily, contributing to sea level rises. And at the end of June, ice covered 4.5 million square miles of ocean around Antarctica, according to the National Snow and Ice Data Center. And that's nearly 1 million square miles less than the expected average. And one of the things that's concerning people is that Antarctica has been slower to respond to climate change than the ice in the Arctic Ocean. The Arctic Ocean is like just rushing like mad to warm up, and people aren't sure why. And this is why in the summertime, there's no ice at the North Pole anymore. And they've been really saying, okay, Antarctica down in the South Pole, it's not doing that. That's good. That's helping to keep the oceans and the air from warming up quite as much as they might otherwise do. And scientists are concerned that this record low might be an indication that there's a shift happening in the sea ice system, and now a new unstable state is going to come into being where extremes become more common. That isn't good. And in this article, Marilyn Raphael, a geography professor and director of the Institute of the Environment and Sustainability at the University of California, Los Angeles, UCLA, says, quote, "This is very, very concerning. This is not within natural variability," unquote. So they're getting concerned about this. More concerned. Everything regarding the climate is concerning more and more every week. And in the article it says, sea surface temperatures have broken records this year, and there are currently three patches of unusually warm water around Antarctica. And this is having an effect on things like the various penguin species that live in Antarctica, because they rely on sea ice. Some of them lay their eggs and live for a while on the floating ice. And one of the problems is that if the ice is melting, it's still there, but if it's melting, when their chicks hatch, they're going to drown. I mean, when the penguin chicks hatch, they can't swim, their feathers aren't ready to repel water, and they're just going to drown right there. And so, oh boy, this could result in really cutting down on a lot of those creatures. And another set of penguins, their krill is liable to disappear. That's the teeny-weeny things that they eat, and they live exclusively on krill. And they're going to be, if the water is warmer, there are going to be fewer of those tiny krill to feed anything down there. And also whales eat that. One of the ironies of life is the largest creature in the sea is feeding off the smallest creature in the sea. Very interesting. And so this could have an effect on the penguins and whales and other creatures down there. So, oh boy, this is rather troubling stuff. The ice just isn't there. We're liable to see some drastic changes happening in the southern hemisphere. We're already seeing them in the northern hemisphere. This is going to get worse. This is going to get worse. At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is back of the book. She is radio's Pickles of the North, and I'm R. Paul Martin.
I just read, actually, online on the CBC's website that there has been a big loss of penguin babies because of this.
It's already, happening.
Yes,
oh, boy.
Yes, it has. It has.
Well, geez. So now we're going to end up with at least one species of penguin that lays their eggs on ice floes. They could end up going extinct or getting very close, or they'll have to be collected and raised in captivity or something, and then what, released into Antarctica? I don't know. The human intervention can only go so far.
Well, would there be an environment suited to them anymore for them to be released back into? There may not be.
There's that question. I mean, if for the ones that their babies are going to drown upon hatching, you could hatch them and then bring them back after their feathers and all grow. On the other hand, the way some of the penguins work is they feed the babies for a while, and then they go off for a month or more, and then they come back and resume being parents. And if they can't leave them in the usual place, are they going to leave them someplace else? Will they find them? These are questions that I don't think anybody has a good answer to. There may not be a good answer. So, yeah, we're seeing more of this going on. And, of course, there are still these morons who insist that the climate crisis isn't happening. I mean, global warming, ha, ha, ha. Oh, yeah, right. I mean, we can't really prove that things like these extra storms that are happening, that are more powerful, you can't really prove beyond reasonable doubt. Well, maybe you can prove beyond reasonable doubt that global warming is doing it, because weather can vary so much from year to year. But we're getting enough of these kinds of things piling up year after year so that there are conditions we're no longer seeing. There are things we're seeing that are becoming a new normal, except they're not steady. Because the warming is still going on, the temperatures are accelerating, and so there's no end point that we're seeing. This is so bad. This is so bad.
Regarding the penguins we were speaking about specifically, I'm not certain of which species, but there were four colonies. They had about 10,000, I guess, chicks, and 800 plus survived. So that is really alarming.
That is a population crash.
Yes, it is.
Jesus Christ. Well, at some point we'll be recording that sort of thing for humans after this gets really going.
Wait, speaking of humans, this makes me think of our cousins who live in British Columbia, who went to visit their grandmother for a couple of weeks. And a couple days after they were there visiting Grandma, they found out, well, their neighborhood was on fire. So now, and they can't get back because they can't fly in there because everything is on fire. You know, this is, so they're just having an extended holiday and waiting to see when they can go back and see if they have anything left.
Probably an extremely anxiety-filled holiday.
I would think so. The good thing is that they are all together.
Yeah, they're alive and all of that.
That's the most important thing.
But they can't go home. And once they get to go there, they don't know if there's going to be ashes or if the whole place will still be there for them.
That is correct.
And since the whole area has been evacuated, of course, that draws looters. So you go find your house. It's still there, you hope. but everything you own has been stolen. Yeah. That's not new. That's not caused by climate change. People being thieves is a very old story. A program note. We'll be celebrating the 37th anniversary of this radio program 2 weeks from now on September 9th. Back of the Book first aired on September 8th, 1986, and the 9th is the closest air date to that date this year. So we're going to be celebrating in 2 weeks. Next week also is September 2nd, and it's the Labor Day weekend, and typically not a lot of people listen to us on those holidays. In fact, I have at times told management that especially for the Memorial Day weekend, we should never pitch anymore. But we've been pitching at BAI on Memorial Day weekend for more than 40 years that I know about. Nobody listens to me about that. And every time we have pitching going on Memorial Day weekend, the pitching tanks and we don't raise anything near normal. Labor Day isn't quite so bad, but it's, you know. So anyway, yeah. For those of you who are going to tune in next week, we'll be here. We'll be, you know, unless they throw us off the air or something. We'll be here, and we'll be shooting our mouths off and all the usual stuff. But we expect a lot of you aren't going to be listening then. Oh, well, we'll see what happens. But 2 weeks from now is our 37th anniversary of the radio program. All the usual rituals that we've built up over the decades will be observed. At times, we have said we should have a People Stink segment of this radio program. And I think right now, this is going to be one of those examples when we're going to have a People Stink segment. Our first People Stink bunch involves two German tourists aged 20 and 21 who have been arrested, I'm glad to say, for spray painting a German soccer club's name on Italy's 450-year-old Vasari Corridor landmark. This is something that was erected more than 450 years ago in, what is it, 1565? And this was erected then by one of the big architects of the Renaissance. And these idiots, 20 and 21, old enough to know better, decided they would take spray paint cans and start writing the name of their German soccer club there. Oh, God. This also relates to a situation where some other idiot who I don't think we know where this guy was from. I don't think he's been caught. I'm glad to say the two Germans are under arrest. I don't know if this other guy got caught, but he was in one of the big sites there. I think it might have been the Colosseum, and he was carving his girlfriend's name into this stone and brick. This thing's been standing there for like 2,000 years, and this jackass has to start scratching away at it to put the name of his girlfriend in there. I hope they arrest him. I think people like this shouldn't get like a fine or a slap in the wrist. I think they should do hard time. Really, they should. They're destroying the world heritage stuff. This is not proper behavior. And, you know, it should be discouraged most vigorously, in my opinion. And that goes for any of these kinds of things. I mean, this is like the idiots out in the West some years ago who it's not something anybody made. It's a natural formation. There was a rock formation that was something like 20 million years old. And these guys said, we could knock that over. And so they slammed at it and slammed at it, and they broke it off. It was like a rock that was big at the top and sort of slim down toward the middle. And they succeeded in breaking it off. And I think these guys should also get a hard time. Let them do 25 or more years in prison. I'm not kidding. They should. I mean, we'll never get that back. This is like people wiping out a species of penguin. We should probably all get 25 to life for that. People stink. People do stink. Now, this next thing I'm going to talk about goes beyond people stink. It's really terrible. A woman named Laura Carlton died outside of her clothing store called Mag.Pie in Cedar Glen, California this past week. She was murdered by an anti-LGBT plus infinity creep named Travis Ikaguchi. Ms. Carlton had shown a LGBT plus infinity pride flag, or a gay pride flag, as we called it when it came out, outside her store, and this Ikaguchi guy didn't like that, so he shot her to death. He murdered this woman because she had this pride flag in front of her store. And she had other little pride items in the store, along with a bunch of other stuff. She had clothing and, you know, tchotchkes and all of that. And Jesus Christ. And he had torn down a pride flag at some point. I don't know if he tore one down right before he did this. But he'd torn one down, and maybe he or maybe others had torn down other pride flags, and Ms. Carlton had simply put up a new one. Didn't give in. And so he murdered her. And after he murdered her, he got about a mile away from the store before the cops caught up with him. And he had a shootout with the cops, and he died there. Well, I'm glad that son of a bitch is dead. It's being reported that Ikaguchi had frequently written and shared hateful posts about the LGBT plus infinity community on various social media platforms, so it wasn't like this suddenly happened. This is a sort of theme this guy was pushing. This was something he was hot about. Probably some right-wing creep as well. I wouldn't be surprised at all. This is something they tend to go in for, along with going in for being violent against people with whom they disagree, whether it's shooting somebody or running people down with a car after you've had a hate rally in the South, or any of these various other things that we've been hearing about over the last number of years as the right wing has been getting more rambunctious here in America. And after Donnie Bonespur Trump got elected and they said, that's it, we win, we take over the world now. Luckily, that hasn't happened. But he was doing all of this stuff, anti-gay stuff, on various social media platforms, so it's not as if this was anomalous behavior for this creep. Two of Ms. Carlton's nine children, Ari and Kelsey Carlton, wrote online that their mother, quote, was murdered over a pride flag that she proudly hung on her storefront. Make no mistake, this was a hate crime, unquote. And then they added, quote, our family is broken, unquote. Terrible stuff. These bad right-wing people who figure they just get to kill people and, you know, destroy things. And, you know, everybody else doesn't get to say anything. These punks get to dominate everything. We have to fight them. I'm glad the son of a bitch was shot down. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. So we've had some moon news this past week. Yes, Lunar News on the air. All the news from the moon. India managed to land on near the south pole of the moon. They put a lander on the south pole of the moon. So they're really going places there. I wish they weren't becoming a theocracy. That would be good. But they're going places, and instead of, you know, making nuclear weapons and all of that stuff, they're going to the moon. That's a good thing. So I'm glad to see that. And then the Russians sent a lander to the moon as well. Well, it landed all right, just a little faster than planned. It splatted somewhere on the moon's surface. I don't know if they know exactly where it hit, but I think it's yet another blow for Vladimir Putin and his thing of he's invincible and powerful. Yeah, well, you ain't putting stuff on the moon right now. Speaking of Russia, Yevgeny Prigozhin, who was the big leader of the Wagner Group and had a mutiny, he was assassinated this week, as I'm sure we all know. He was one of 10 people on board his plane. He's got his own plane. He was one of those oligarchs, one of those people who, when they said, oh, when the communists, so-called communists, they were never communists, when they the guys in charge of the Soviet Union said, geez, this gig's going to fall apart. What are we going to do? You know, we've been in charge of everything. We've been keeping our heels firmly on the backs of people's necks. We like our heels in the backs of people's necks. What are we going to do? And they figured out, hey, if we're in charge of something now, let's just become the actual owners of it. You know, kick over the traces of this communism crap and become the biggest robber barons of capitalism ever seen. And that's what they did. And so there are, you know, greater and lesser oligarchs. And Prigozhin was one of the lesser oligarchs, I think. But he was an oligarch. He was rich. He had his own plane, after all. And he was the chef for Putin for a while and became his good buddy, and then was sent off to found the Wagner Group, which isn't just trying to kill people in Ukraine. It's going all over the place. It's in Africa. They're showing other people how to murder people there. They're going around murdering Africans, and they're seizing control of the various mineral wealth that's in Africa. That's what they're doing. That's what it's about for them. They're training oppressive regimes on how to keep their heel on the backs of people's necks. And so they're all around. The Wagner Group is a all around bad bunch of people. And of course, as I said, they're in Ukraine, and they were the big fighters for Russia in Ukraine for a while. And then there seems to have been a falling out, and the Russian army didn't like them. And the Wagner Group guys said, hey, they don't like us. We're going to start screwing around here. And they started their mutiny. And so now we've got this plane that has crashed, and 10 people died on it. And the plane was flying from Moscow to St. Petersburg this past Wednesday. And as I said, it was Prigozhin. I've seen these things done either way. His plane, it was his personal plane, and either it was shot down or it had a bomb on board that went off. From the videos I've seen, I think the plane was probably shot down because they have a video and there's a streak of white up in the sky. And it's a streak, not a puff in place. It's a streak. And I think that's more in line with an anti-aircraft rocket going after the aircraft and hitting it, because everything will, after the explosion, everything continues all in that way. And also it blew off one wing, we're told. And after the plane crashed, they found some holes in parts of it that would be consistent with an anti-aircraft missile going off near it and splattering it with a whole lot of shrapnel to bring it down. And so, yeah, how about that? And I think it was shot down. So Prigozhin, I said he was in a bad place. I was talking about that when he was still alive a week after his mutiny. I was quite surprised he was still alive for our July 1st program. I said, wow, they didn't murder him yet? And, well, Putin is trying to show that he's powerful with this. I mean, obviously Putin did it. Everybody whom Putin doesn't like, he murders, whether it's through poison or a firing squad or something like, oh, your plane fall down, go boom. Whatever it is, he kills people for this kind of thing. He's a murderous psychopath. So Prigozhin, with no big surprise, has been assassinated. And Putin is glad of this, I'm sure. And now he's doing various things to try and show how powerful he is. The moon landing isn't one of those things. What's he going to do? Nuke the moon? We mentioned last time that Donnie Bonespur Trump had gone from his third to his fourth indictment. And oh boy, oh boy, Trump and the other 18 co-defendants who are facing a raft of RICO charges. RICO is the Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. They've all surrendered to the Georgia authorities. And Trump was photographed and fingerprinted at the Atlanta jail during processing. And that has given us all the first mugshot of a former president of the United States. Trump was listed as being 6'3" and weighing 215 pounds. I suspect that Trump and his pals gave the people at the jail those statistics. They should weigh him. They should have weighed him. I think he weighs a hell of a lot more than 215 pounds. You know, look at that guy. He doesn't weigh 215. Jesus Christ. I think they have Giuliani weighing more than that. And Giuliani isn't nearly as messed up looking as Trump is, which is saying something. They're both very messed up looking. But anyway, so yeah, we have Donnie Bonespur Trump saying that he's a trim 215. I don't buy it. Also, three of the fake electors who have been indicted with Trump are trying to get out of it by saying that they were only following orders. Trump's orders. You know, I was only following orders is a plea that became kind of not so good in the 20th century. It's still not that good. I was only following Trump orders. Former state Republican Party chair David Schaefer, state senator Stephen Still, and Republican Party operative Kathleen Latham all say they signed documents claiming to be legitimate 2020 election electors from Georgia because they were told to do so by lawyers for Trump. These people are stupid. I don't think that's going to be quite enough to get them off. There is speculation that they may flip on Trump, and maybe others will flip on him as well. That would be very good. I'd be glad to see massive amounts of flippage happening to Trump. And, oh, man. So, yeah, these are the people who sign things saying, I'm an elector. Oh, yeah, I was elected to be. But, you know, you set up who's on what before the election. And then when the election is done and, you know, they parse out the electors according to how many votes various people running for president got. Biden got more electors. So then Trump and them tried to substitute their own pals to be it. And, oh, lying bastards. Anyway, I'm hearing that Trump is going to use that mugshot, which is all over the world now. I hear that he's going to use that mugshot where he tries to look like a tough mafioso to raise money. He'll have a lot of competition because I'm also hearing that people had already started printing that image on T-shirts, mugs, and other things in order to sell them and mock Trump. It's a public domain thing. It's a public record. And so the photograph is in the public domain. So he's not going to be able to stop this. Oh, boy. I'm glad about that. Now, he was hardly treated like any other citizen. Not at all. I mean, Jesus Christ. He got in there and out of there in 22 minutes. Most of the time they were saying, while this was going on, for an ordinary person getting arrested, it takes like 12 hours or more. And he arranged things and had all this stuff. And they have his fingerprints. We have his fingerprints now. Maybe we'll find some crimes he's committed in the past. That'd be good. I wonder if they're going to run his fingerprint through CODIS. That would be so good if all of a sudden they came up with, oh, my, we have a hit. You know, what might they find from his fingerprints? What crimes might he be found to have committed from that? I hope they find something bad. And, yeah, this is... Of course, it's terrible in so many ways, but I'm very glad that he and his hench creeps are getting arrested and are now going to have to stand trial. Of course, they're trying to throw roadblock after roadblock in the way, and one of them is demanding that he get his trial started very early. So Trump is trying to say, I don't want to do it till 2026. Another one is saying, I want to do it in another 2 months. And others are throwing various other roadblocks in the way. So they're going to have to figure out how to do this. If they have to do them one at a time, it's going to cost money. It's also not going to be as effective, I think. But who knows? As long as they get the main people. I want to see all of them go to prison. And, you know, last time we were talking about Trump, was he or wasn't he going to come up with his rebuttal? Well, Trump relented and listened to his lawyers, and he did not issue his 100-page rebuttal to the charges that have been brought against him. That would have been actually a request to become the first former president who was held in pretrial detention, I think. Too bad he didn't put that out there like he claimed he was going to. Yeah, I've got 100 pages to show that this is all not real and I'm innocent. And I wish he had done that. But unfortunately, he's scared, apparently. Nancy Pelosi says he's a scared rabbit, that he's very scared at this point in time. And, yeah, he probably is. That's probably why he made that face for his mugshot. A narcissist is going to do that kind of thing, and that's what's going on there.
You know, when I saw that mugshot, I burst out laughing. So I couldn't have, Harbaugh was like, what's going on? It's like, look at that. But I've been rereading The Lord of the Rings. And when I saw that mugshot, I thought, oh, there is the big bloated ring of power. And when I saw the photos of the Republican debate where they're all standing at their podiums, boy, one ring to find them all.
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to rule them all. One ring to find them.
Yeah.
What's the rest of it? One ring to bring them all and in the darkness bind them. At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. He is R. Paul Martin, and I am Radio's Pickles of the North.
Ask not for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for Trump. And we're going to troll that bell here on WBAI all we can. Yes, this is WBAI New York. We're listener-sponsored non-commercial radio. And we are here getting ready to pitch. And, oh, what's that in the distance? Is that some smoke puffing up? Oh, no, it's not a wildfire. It's the WBAI pitching train. Oh, here it comes. The WBAI pitching train is grinding past us here. Oh, we wound it up before, and it's grinding past us slowly. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, we got to get out of the way. We got to get out of the way, the pitching train. Here it comes. All right. This is non-commercial radio. We do not sell products like cars or other junk that they sell on TV or any of these things, like some of that crap that they're selling these days.
Or rings of power.
Or rings of power. Or the annoying commercial where they say, oh, here, this stuff will take the stink off you. And then they start showing the body parts where they rub it on. And, you know, oh, I don't want to see that. Terrible. Oh. Anyway, we don't do that. You can't see our body parts. See, we're doing better. We don't show you our stinky body parts. We just keep our stinky body parts on the microphone. I've got some stinky body parts myself, but you can't smell them. You can't see them. Maybe you can hear them a little bit. But anyway, we don't sell products like, you know, stinky body part stuff. What we do is we ask you to become our sponsors. We don't have sponsors who sell cars and stinky body part stuff. We have sponsors who listen to this radio station and who think that what we're doing on the air is good. And it's good for them. And it's good for you. We implore you to act on any good feelings you have regarding this radio program and this radio station, and go to your phone and dial 1-212-209-2950. That's 1-212-209-2950. And when they pick up at the call center, say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. A BAI buddy is the name we have, our fanciful name, for a sustaining membership. You will become a sustaining membership and you'll be called a BAI buddy. Which will really entitle you, I'm told, to getting a tote bag, a WBAI tote bag, which will be filled with some of the finest air available. Actually, there might be some other stuff they're going to throw in there at some point. I don't know. They say they're going to try and do that. But you'll definitely have some good air inside that bag. So, if you ever run out of air and you're in outer space, open the bag and breathe from your tote bag from BAI. And you can become a BAI buddy by calling 1-212-209-2950, saying you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And then what you do is you tell them how much you want to donate. You can donate $10 a month, $15 a month, $20 a month or more if you can afford it. And you then tell them your credit card or debit card number. And then you tell them what day of the month you want your credit card or debit card charged, and they will do that on that day every month. That way, you do not have the problem of, oh my, the money's coming out of my bank account at a bad time. You know, maybe, or your bank account or your credit card, whatever. You know, there are times when you've got a little, it's a little low, and maybe it would be good not to have it so low. And you could figure out when is a good time for you. When are the bills hitting? You could figure, hey, either have it when the bills aren't hitting, or maybe have it when the bills do hit, so you can do it all at once. 1-212-209-2950. Please give the center a call at that point in time right now. 1-212-209-2950. If you call right now, they're going to be able to pick up and you'll tell them, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And, oh, we'll be so glad if you'll do that. 1-212-209-2950. You know, we have some fun pitching sometimes here because, oh, geez, we got to do it so goddamn much. But it really is a serious thing, and we are hoping that you will not be put off by our levity regarding some of this, and will, in fact, call up 1-212-209-2950 and become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. Make sure you say Back of the Book or we might not get credit for it. And by the way, if you do become a BAI buddy, please write to me, rpm@glib.com. That's rpm@glib.com. It's an email address. And let me know that you contributed. You don't have to say how much, but it'd be good if you said, oh, I contributed, I pledged something, or I became a BAI buddy. And that would be a good thing because it'll help us to track it all down. You can also make a one-time donation by calling the same number, 1-212-209-2950, and say you want to make a one-time donation to WBAI in the name of Back of the Book. And, you know, we bring various different things. We bring science stuff that you don't hear elsewhere to the air. We talk about various unusual things sometimes that you don't hear on other radio programs. And we, of course, have our own take on things like, oh, Donnie Bonespur Trump. So, if you value that kind of thing, I hope that you will call 1-212-209-2950 and say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. Also, of course, we are considered an overnight radio program. I know the sun is up. As I pitch, the sun is up. Ah, well, that's something different. In another couple of months, it will not be up. Sometime in October, it'll be pitch black for our entire radio program. But right now, the sun is up, but we're an overnight radio program. The overnight programs go from midnight to 6 a.m. And those of us who are on the end of that, yeah, it becomes daylight in the summertime. Such is life. So we have a sort of unique situation here in the overnight programs. We do different radio. It's not the same as other radio. And that's been the tradition in a lot of radio stations. That's why you had Gene Shepherd at WOR in the old days. That's why you had Long John Neville in from midnight to, what was it, 5 or 6 on WOR decades ago. I used to listen to that sometimes when I could. And that's why you have unusual radio programs in that time slot now. However, the overnight radio programs are not appreciated by a lot of people. Most people are listening during what's called prime time. They listen during drive time, morning and afternoon drive time. They listen in the middle of the day. They listen in the evening when they're awake. They don't care about overnight radio programs. So they say, let's get rid of those. Let's instead rent out WBAI signal to some other entity and let them pay BAI a lot of money for 25% of the broadcast day, and BAI won't have problems with money anymore. That would be bad. That would wipe out all of these overnight programs, and I think that would be a very bad thing. The way you can keep overnight programming on WBAI is to get up and go to your phone or just reach over and grab your phone, dial 1-212-209-2950 and say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, and tell them you want to preserve overnight programming. Again, 1-212-209-2950. Please give us a call, give them a call at that number, and we very much hope you will do that. And thank you. That's been it for Back of the Book for this week. Coming up next is
Exploration with Dr. Michio Kaku.
And we're supposed to be back here next week, Labor Day weekend. Take care of yourselves. Enjoy yourselves as summer starts leaving us. And above all, remember what that Sad to see the middle third go, but glad to see Donnie Bonespur Trump getting indicted. Dormouse said.
It's been 60 years since Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Bayard Rustin, and other civil rights leaders organized the Pivotal March on Washington in August 1963. The March on Washington 60 years later represents a continuation of that work. WPFW and WBAI present The Continuation, live coverage of the 2023 March on Washington, Saturday, August 26th. The program begins at 10 a.m. on WPFW at 89.3 FM and WPFWFM.org, and at 11 a.m. on WBAI at 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. Hosted by WPFW's Julianne Malveaux and Chip Jones, we present the March program as well as offer context and analysis with guests Dr. Greg Carr, Linda Sarsour, and others until 2 p.m. Don't miss our coverage of the March on Washington 2023. Pacifica Radio, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
This is Commissioner Idanis Rodriguez from the New York City Department of Transportation. Mayor Adams and I invite you to Summer Streets this year in every borough. In Queens and Staten Island on July 29th. In Manhattan on August 5th, 12th, and 19th. And in the Bronx and Brooklyn on August 26th. Visit nyc.gov/summerstreets for more details. See you then.
Okay. Now you got a pitch.
Ask for money for WBAI?
Damn straight. You got to ask for money for WBAI, and you got to get people to give it, because you are now in charge of publicity and promotion. And if you don't get people to donate, we got to fire you.
So I have to tell everyone that WBAI listener-supported free speech radio, truth and justice radio, radio for the 99.5% on 99.5 FM is the best radio station in New York City. The only truly listener-supported station in New York City, and they should contribute to WBAI, become WBAI buddy members. And if they don't?
Then we gotta fire you.
You can't fire me.
Why?
Because I'm just a volunteer. WBAI doesn't have enough money to hire somebody to do publicity and promotion.
So what do we do instead?
How about a silly conversation like this that we can broadcast on the air and say, please support Peace and Justice, Free Speech Radio, radio for the 99.5% at 99.5 FM. Contribute. Become a WBAI buddy member.
Hey, BAI lover. Imagine a BAI PR team that every week would place articles in the left media about BAI. Or a team that creates an Each One, Reach One promo campaign to increase our membership. Or a team that reaches out for grants and major donors. We can do it, but we need a real infusion of people power, a grassroots volunteer effort. A key person in all of this would be a volunteer coordinator. So this is a call for volunteer coordinator. If you can volunteer 10 to 20 hours a week, have a vision, can recruit volunteers, can communicate effectively, and want to expand BAI's reach, then call at 212-209-2870. To apply for volunteer coordinator, call 209-287-0 or email at volunteers@wbai.org. Thanks so much.
Activist Sharon Salam speaks out for WBAI.
We should be moving forward, collecting the funds that we need to make sure that our station is whole and that it can do its job as it has done for me in the past. When all of this stuff happened to me many, many years ago in 1989, I didn't get very many opportunities to speak out in regards to the wrong that was done to my son and the other boys in the Central Park jogger case, as it was called at that time.